Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Admiral Robert Papp, Commandant of the United States Coast Guard. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Hempstead. Well, Admiral, I have the pleasure of asking a lot of my guests about collaboration and partnership, how they're leveraging both. I'd be interested, how is the Coast Guard leveraging partnerships and collaboration both within the Department of Homeland Security, but also, more importantly, outside?
Michael, we are, I think, best known for being a collaborative service, whether it's here in Washington, D.C., or at the field level. We realize we don't get the job done all by ourselves. Within Washington, we've got great partners within the Department of Homeland Security, but being the only armed service in the Department of Homeland Security, we provide a bridge across the Potomac to the Pentagon. I'm not a named member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but Admiral Mullen and now General Dempsey invite me to every meeting that they have over there. So it keeps me informed of what the other four services are doing. I've been over there for every meeting of the new strategy development, been involved with their budget work over there. So it enables me to come back to the Department of Homeland Security and say, you know, these are the needs, these are the things that the Coast Guard can provide that the Department of Defense is not going to bring. We need to understand each other so there's not a seam created between Homeland Security and Homeland Defense. We work with the Department of Interior. We have staff talks with them. We work with the Army Corps of Engineers. We work with the Department of Justice. A couple of my predecessors have used the phrase that we are bureaucratically multilingual. We can talk defense, we can talk justice, we can talk environment. And that carries down to the field level as well. And in fact, I'm very proud these sector commanders that we talked about that we have in each one of the ports, they do things called Area Maritime Safety Committees, which brings together the state, local, federal, and industry partners for regular meetings. They do exercises because when you have an emergency, you don't want to be meeting people for the first time. So not only do we hold these exercises and these meetings, but we also build command centers with extra seats in there so that when a crisis happens, the other agencies can come in and we sit down and we partner together to take them on.
You know, there is a constant struggle to achieve a proper balance between the demands of today's mission while at the same time planning to effectively meet tomorrow's strategic and operational requirements. To that end, what future technologies do you see as important to the Coast Guard in the coming years?
Well, Paul, I mentioned we got to get these ships built, and that's really the big thing for me right now is getting the ships built because they are, unfortunately, lots of times within the city, we focus year to year because that's the way the budget cycle works. I don't have that luxury because as Commandant, I need to be planning for the next 40 years and what sort of resources are we going to need. Ships are major investments, and almost every class of ship that we've had since World War I, we've had to get about 40 years out of them. And like I said, ours are now exceeding 40 years. We're in sort of block obsolescence. So how do you make those ships, which are probably going to be fewer, how do you make them more effective? One of the big things that we're looking at right now is unmanned aerial systems. That has to be a part of what we do. Unfortunately, we haven't had the wherewithal within our budget top line to be able to experiment with the technology. So what we're doing is we're leveraging the Navy. And they've had a couple of unmanned systems that they've been looking at. One is something called Fire Scout, which looks like a small helicopter. But the other one that I think is more promising and that they seem to be moving in the direction of is something called Scan Eagle. And we're going to use Scan Eagle this summer off one of our cutters and experiment with it. And I think that's a wise way to go because it's a tremendous burden on the Coast Guard to have to support something like that. If the Navy has chosen a system, you can leverage their logistics, engineering, and supply systems and training systems to help us out. And that's an extra burden that we don't have to bear. So that's probably one of the things that's most important to me. And then continuing to look at boat technology as we go forward. We obviously are very boat intensive for search and rescue and law enforcement, and we need to continue to look at innovations there.
You mentioned the future for you is somewhere between 4 and 40 and beyond. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your agency evolving to meet those challenges?
Well, you know, I think a lot about that, but I also am a student of history, and I look back across the organization. The one constant, I mentioned earlier, we got our start because Alexander Hamilton foresaw that this was going to be a maritime nation. We would rely upon trade on the sea for this country to be sustained and to survive. One of the quotes I love, he says, in order to have political security, you must have fiscal security. Not a bad phrase for what we're experiencing nowadays. 95% of our trade comes by sea. I don't see that changing in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We are going to still rely upon maritime trade to contribute to our prosperity as a country. So I have long thought that a measure of greatness of any country is the resources and facilities that it provides for the mariner to conduct safe and secure commerce on the sea. By that measure, I think the United States is the world leader because it produced the United States Coast Guard. So our mission will continue. We need to provide for the safe and secure transport of goods at sea, the safety of people who use the sea, and also to protect the sea itself through our environmental functions.
So, Admiral, what advice would you give someone, perhaps a young person who's thinking about a career in public service and maybe interested in the Coast Guard?
Well, without being too parochial, what I would say is I believe that every young person ought to think about serving their country in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be in the armed services. You know, we always talk about various organizations, agency, the Peace Corps, perhaps. Maybe I'm just a patriotic guy, but I love this country. I love what we stand for. I appreciate the benefits of liberty that we enjoy. And I think every person has an obligation to pay back in some way, shape, or form. There's plenty of opportunities to choose from out there. Of course, I would recommend the United States Coast Guard because I am the Commandant of the Coast Guard. But once again, I said this earlier, we provide such a wide range of activities. I mean, we've got, for our young enlisted people, we've got marine science technicians. We've got people that go out there and do rescues. We've got people who do law enforcement, pollution response, a lot of really exciting activities that contributes back to our country. And over the course of a Coast Guard career, they can go back and forth between those missions as well to keep things exciting.
Well, Admiral, this has been a very interesting and insightful conversation. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today from your busy schedule. But more importantly, Paul and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's a great opportunity for me. I will go anywhere to have anyone listen about the Coast Guard because obviously it's an organization I've committed about four decades to and that I am privileged and humbled and honored to be able to lead right now because I never thought I'd be in this position. But more importantly, I just get to work with some great Americans. And as I travel around the country in uniform, I'm constantly humbled by the citizens that come up to me and want to shake my hand and thank me for my service. It's been on the increase since September 11, 2001. And in every situation, I simply tell them, I appreciate that. I'm going to pass it on to the great young men and women who are actually getting the job done. So during those all-hands meeting I was telling you about, that's always my last message to the Coasties when I'm talking to them. So if you don't remember anything else today, remember I came here to thank you for what you're doing.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Admiral Robert Papp, Commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard. My co-host from IBM has been Paul Hempstead. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.